Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
Books. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gutenberg? Even the thought of it's so absurd. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gutenberg? It's a rhetorical question, sir, but where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm, but you may not recognize that because our theme song is different today. The theme song is being sung and played by the people who actually wrote the theme song, Ron and Russell Mail of Sparks. It's a great honor for me to have them with me performing in the studio in stripped-down versions throughout of the songs that you will hear on their new and fantastic album, Hippopotamus. It comes to us from the first major label that Sparks have had in a long time. It's from the international label BMG.
It's been amazing because, you know, having the support in that sort of way, we have now four videos off of the Hippopotamus album that in the past when we were self-producing some of our albums, you know, we'd have one video. So having their support and just having them support things like the, you know, the visual side of things where we can kind of convey the certain images visually, like the cover of the album where it is the hippopotamus in this swimming pool with Ron and I on one end.
That's Russell Mail, and his brother, Ron Mail, is the writer of the songs and the lyrics, and they are really smart and moving and funny songs. A really good song is complex, and that the music comments on the lyrics, that the lyric comments on the singer, that the singer comments on the subject of the song by his voice.
But with us, it all sounds like just kind of fun stuff sometimes, and people just kind of categorize it that way without kind of looking underneath the surface. And we kind of try to play with that, actually, by kind of having sometimes a melancholy side underneath that seemingly frivolous surface area of the songs. We always start with the music. There are quite a few reasons why we start with the music first. One of them is just that if you start with the lyrics, then you kind of, at least for us, get locked into too much of a da-da-da-da-da, like kind of, and if you have a musical kind of context, then you can kind of be more freer in the form of how the words go in and out. And the other thing is that starting with the music, sometimes just the evocative nature of the music will bring out words that you wouldn't think of without having that there, that it's in a certain sense, it's a mood setter for the lyric writing.
Ron Mail's brother, Russell Mail, sings these songs. This is a unique voice. It grows more astonishing to me all the time. It is a falsetto voice. In the final song on this album, Hippopotamus, there's a song about Lord and Lady Macbeth. They're husband and wife, and they're being imagined as stars of a TV show. Macbeth is a falsetto, and his wife is a soprano. So, of course, they sing in the higher registers together. The beautiful soprano is Rebecca Chauvel, and I loved their voices, and I think that this is what the Macbeths would sound like. And I think it's yet another example of how literature and literary thought enters the songs.
As the lady inspires me to depths unseen, killing all in my way some ideal obscene, the readings are of the choice. the public enthused. Ambition leads to murder, a royal reign of terror, the critics split in fervor, some not that into murder. Is there a deeper story, or is it only glory? Some woman prods her husband, and then rejects what's coming.
That was Life with the Macbeths. I love these voices. I love them together. Now, you know, Ron Mayall, what you have to work with in terms of voices by now. You've been working together for how many years?
Many. No, it's been 4 decades, I suppose. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that I know what I'm working with, because sometimes I kind of don't really even think about that and don't care. And so I'm just writing songs without any kind of thought of the singer at all. And it's kind of up to Russell just to sing them, and then it's not my problem at that point.
So. Ron and Russell Mayall are the partners who are Sparks, the rock group. This is, the song is on their 23rd album. It's called Hippopotamus. Now, you and Rebecca are playing singing murderers on this song, and are making the ecstatic sounds, I suppose, of people who enjoy murder and gore, which is what they are in the play Macbeth. Macbeth is an anticipation of the kind of murder and madness of Game of Thrones.
We placed it as the last song on the album as well, because we just thought that that it had a certain tone to it that sounded really final, and it would be the best conclusion to the 15 songs that are on the album.
But it's a song about our time, I think, our time in which we turn on the television set and are entertained by an extraordinary level of gore, not just on the situation comedies or dramatic series.
The other thing I like about the song, the lyrics of the song too, is that both of those, the people, the characters on the television show, the series, they also are commenting, they're taking a step back and they're commenting about it as well, about their own, that they are actors within that show. And so they're commenting on how their lifestyle demands that they hide their feelings about what they really feel about performing on a show that's just based on they want to get high ratings by having murders, but they're saying, well, we're going to do it anyway because they have to continue with their, if they want to make a good living and continue with their lifestyle, they better just join the program, whatever the content of that program might be.
We know of families on television, we've watched them, whose weird and bad behavior adds to their popularity. And I think that this is in part a song about that.
It's intellectual Kardashians.
Yeah, taken to the extreme.
To the extreme.
But I mean, it's hard nowadays. The extreme is kind of the believable. So who knows what is extreme nowadays?
It's interesting because, Macbeth, we all say, Macbeth, one of the great Shakespearean tragedies, it's funny to think of it as reimagined for a pop culture series. What's your position on pop culture?
You got a few hours?
No, I mean, obviously, just the fact that we're in a pop band at this stage of our lives means that we have some championing of all of that. And having grown up in Los Angeles, I think pop culture has always been a part of us, even when we didn't really know it. So in the abstract, I love pop culture. Just part of the thing I love is that it's kind of bursting holes in kind of a pompous attitude about things. But then the other side of it is, I think that Sparks is kind of always tried to play it both ways, that there are artistic intentions, but that the means of delivering them are sometimes through popular culture. And that's kind of the game that we're trying to play.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to Bookworm from the studios of KCRW. I'm talking with Ron and Russell Mail of the rock group Sparks about their work and how both high art and pop art inform their lyrics. Now, these are distinctions that people don't tend to like to make anymore, high art and pop art. And, we'll continue after this short break.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm, and I'm talking with Ron and Russell Mail of the rock group Sparks about their work. I want to say that I know that Ron and Russell have worked with the fascinating Canadian director Guy Maddin, and they're also working with the very brilliant French director Léos Carax. And so, it's easy to say it's not all pop and fun. They are interested in song as art, and film as art, and poetry as art. We're living in a different culture now, and I get the feeling that Sparks, with this album, Hippopotamus, has stepped up to the plate and are giving us a record that has all sorts of social commentary on it.
Well, it's funny because we're often asked, especially in Europe, about our political beliefs. And, we try to avoid specific references in interviews or anything to how we feel about things. But there's always been kind of a general political statement to everything we've done to not accept what is out there necessarily as being the case, and to kind of follow your own direction.
The third song on the new album, Hippopotamus, it's called Edith Piaf Said It Better Than Me. And I would say that the title tells us immediately that it's a Sparks song. Let's hear the song. Okay. Edith Piaf Said It Better Than Me, written by and playing the keyboard in this acoustic version done especially in the KCRW studio for us. Edith Piaf Said It Better Than Me by Ron Mail, sung by Russell Mail.
It's a heartwarming song for the easily moved. The effect is all wrong. Plain to see I'm not moved. As I stand in the light of a shop that is closed, God, I'd love me a fight. There's no bow of disprose. Edith B. I've said it better than me. Je ne regrette rien. Pretty song, but not intended for me. Time to put some music on. There were no smoky dives. Fewer moves, fewer not. There were no petty crimes. Foreign substances bought. There were no midnight drives with a crime boss's wife. Need a sentence at most. Innocence in my life. Edith B. I've said it better than me. Je ne regrette rien. Pretty song, but not intended for me. Time to put some music on. Drunken and short-lived flames, Montparnasse lights, holding a hand of kings, my hunch was right. When's that night? Edith B., I've said it better than me. Je ne regrette rien. Pretty song, but not intended for me. Time to put some music on. Live fast and die young. Live fast and die young. Live fast and die young. Too late for that, too late for that. Live fast and die young. Live fast and die young. Live fast and die young. Too late for that, too late for that. Live fast and die young. Live fast and die young. Live fast and die young. Too late for that, too late for that. Live fast and die young. Live fast and die young. Live fast and die young. Too late for that, too late for that. Think of one single night, one so strong you're aflame. Well, I'm sorry, time's up. Sorry, nothing will change. Edith B., I've said it better than me. Je ne regrette rien. Pretty song, but not intended for me. Listen, there is music on. Edith B., I've said it better.
I was born to be bad. I was born to be bad. Not this time, not this time. Born to be bad. I was born to be bad. I was born to be bad. Not this time.
Edith B., I've said it better than me. Je ne regrette rien. Pretty song, but not intended for me. Listen, there is music on. Edith B., I've said it better.
Fast and die young. Fast and die young. Too late for that, too late for that. Fast and die young. Fast and die young. Fast and die young.
Edith B., I've said it better.
I'm talking to Ron and Russell Mail of Sparks. One of the famous rock formulations is that rock is there for people who live fast and die young. But the singer of the song says, too late for that. I'm not going to die young. I'm already past that. So then what's the other thing that a rock singer can be? The other rock inevitability, rock cliche, is that, you know, I was born to be bad. Ron and Russell of Sparks are not the kind of rock singers who throw TVs out their hotel room window. It's the born to be bad thing is not this time. You know, maybe if they come back.
You know, the usually songs in the rock area, I mean, the cliche thing is to kind of list how your life is so is so full and kind of full of debauchery and all sorts of things. And just to kind of flip that on its head and just have it being sung by someone whose life is so empty that they even kind of the tragic life of Edith Piaf and the things that she was able to kind of cycle into her songs is something that this person wishes that he has, that he, the idea of I regret nothing is kind of has two different meanings for, you know, yes. One for Edith Piaf and one for the person in this song.
Would you just say who Edith Piaf was and what the song is?
She was a really iconic chanteuse that started her life on the streets of Paris when she was really young. And she, you know, making a long story very, very short, she escalated into becoming this really internationally known singer. But her life was filled with lots of tragic events. She had failed marriages, and she had drug addiction, and she had all sorts of things. But then she also, at the same time, became this beloved French icon, and Little Sparrow was her nickname.
Yeah, and the other thing is that you could tell what kind of a life that she had lived from her voice, that it wasn't like a traditionally beautiful voice. It was a voice that had been lived in, but it kind of made the songs 100 times more poignant than somebody that has what would be called a traditionally beautiful voice. The singers that I prefer are singers that are more idiosyncratic, like Edith Piaf, or even, you know, the guy who sings in Sparks, you know, where it's not like the traditional idea of what a good singer is. It's something else, and it actually conveys more of the meaning of songs in one way or another by having that kind of voice.
On this album, you also have a song called When You're a French Director. and I wondered if you would perhaps make a comment that would connect your Edith Piaf to the French director, in this case, Léos Carax.
Well, I don't know. For some reason, we have some kind of closeness to French culture, and I don't exactly know what it is. I mean, this song came about in a strange kind of way because we had finished the album and we had been working with Léos for a long time, and like every director, they secretly want to be a musician in the same way every musician wants to be in film somehow. So when we finished the album, he said, is there any way I can be on the album? I'll play accordion or sing or anything. So I wrote this song, and it's kind of like a knowing idea and a really kind of American stereotypical idea of what a French director is. And Léos is very serious. I mean, he has a great sense of humor, but he's very serious. And we thought that he would not go along with this song, but he eagerly dove in and took singing lessons for a month just to be able to speak his lines.
We just did a concert in Paris, and Léos actually came on stage and sang that song with us too. So it was a first that he got to actually fulfill his dream of being in Sparks.
I think that this is the year of Sparks. I'd like to say that you heard it here first. I'd like to be part of the groundswell of Sparks admiration, which I think is long overdue.
Thank you so much.
Very kind, Michael. It's just that means so much to me because we listen to your show and we know your sensibility, and for us to be here is such an honor for us.
Well, it's a love fest. I can't help it. I mean, I really can't help it. I believe that there are things that still deserve to be called art. They're not what most people think of as art, but they are the special things that no one else could do. I would like to think that no one else could do my show. I don't think anyone but Ron and Russell could write and sing these songs. I think the directors that we know could not be replaced by other directors. They're doing work of specificity and fineness, and that is true of poetry and literature as well. You may not want to hear any of our political views, but all of them are being expressed all the time in our art, not directly, not unsubtly, but constantly, and that's what art is about. Huh?
Amen, brother.
Well put,
thank
dude.
You both boys.
I hope we answered that.
Right. I've been talking with Ron and Russell Mail of the rock group Sparks on the occasion of their new album, Hippopotamus, on the BMG label. Special thanks to guitarists Evan Weiss and Taylor Locke for coming down and joining us on this acoustic version of Sparks songs on Bookworm, and to the beautiful soprano Rebecca Scholval. She's beautiful. Thank you for that voice. It's just great. And thank you for joining me, Ron and Russell.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can comment on today's show at kcrw.com/bookworm. Download the podcast from kcrw.com or from wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen on demand with KCRW smartphone apps. My co-producer is the powerful Connie Alvarez. Alan Howard is a divine and close friend. These are people who work with me and make working worth doing because they're so understanding. The technical director is Mario Diaz, who must have worked four times as hard putting this all together. I thank him very deeply. Special thanks to my new assistant, Sean Sullivan. He's too new to have his own adjective, but I'm sure he'll have one soon. And as a quick favor from our podcast listeners, KCRW wants to learn more about you, who you are, and how you listen. So if you have 3 minutes to help us out, go to kcrw.com/survey, and thanks. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms. I am a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcast the most recent ones at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mail of Sparks.
Read this, read that, read this, bookworm. Read this, read that, read this. I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm when Mark Danielewski is our guest.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.